Okay. All right, it's been a while. It's been a while since I cracked the mic. My name is Reverend Christian Jansen. And today's Mystic Journey topic is keep digging or face plant the dirt. You cannot heal what you do not first reveal.
So many of them in our lives, so much to try to explain and understand.
I have a dear friend of mine who this weekend went to do a 50-mile mountain biking course. A rugged terrain, up a hill, downhills, through rocks, roots. 50 miles. And as we talked about it, it occurred to me this concept of to keep digging or face plant the dirt. He's voluntarily signing up for this. And he said that the last leg of the race, time trial, is the hardest because it's uphill. And I thought about that, like, he's voluntarily signing up for this. And he's making plans and he's clearing his schedule and driving out of town for this immense physical and mental challenge. And see, my brother seems to know something about himself that he needs to keep digging, needs to keep being challenged, or challenges will come and you won't have any say in the matter. They're going to come anyway. And that's been my experience of keep digging in the dirt or get face planted. You know, in times in my life where I think I've got it figured out, where I think I know, and where it's so clear to me what's happening, those are really the times when I don't know anything. You know, in the 12 steps we have this saying that says that our disease, that alcohol, drugs is cunning and baffling, that it sneaks up to you in very interesting, strange, devious, dubious ways. And I know that's true, but I also know what's true is the ego, or the false self, or the flesh, the lower self, is also cunning and baffling. And for good reason. Its job is to protect us. It is to keep us safe. And in comfort, in the safety, we begin to formulate the illusion that we got this. So learning this lesson, I've learned to keep digging so that I don't face plant the dirt. In the book of Luke, in the 6th chapter, there's an account of my guru, Yeshua, of Nazareth, and he says, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank or the log that's in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. You know, I've worked with a lot of people who are, self-professed addicts, and they're also self-professed Christians. And when I take these other men through the steps, you know, step one, admitting they're powerless, no problem. You know, step two, power greater than myself can restore my sanity. Got that. Surrender my life and my will to God. Cool, I'm with that. And as soon as we get to step four, which is this fearless moral inventory, as soon as we get to removing that plank and looking at the wreckage of our past, for taking ownership for the things that we've done, for accurately looking to the things that other people have done, they all bail. They stop right there. And it's unfortunate because they're living out a Christianity that is incomplete. You know, they're living out this Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Yeah. He paid it all. And you owe it to him to do the work of getting the plank out of your own eye. I mean, if all to him you owe, then here's his teaching. To take the plank. Now, this is the process to take the plank. And now, there are many different means of this clearing out. One-on-one therapy, counseling, psychotherapy, 12 steps, smart recovery. There's a lot of different ways to do this. Some people are more naturally inclined. Some people live their life in a way that there's not a lot to clear out. But what I have learned is, if I have been living a majority of my life in addiction, which at this point still is a majority of my life, I was in active addiction. If I've been living in that way, there's a lot of wreckage to clean up. There's a lot of stuff to look at. You know, that's why I keep digging. I keep digging because there was a point in my recovery and in my life that I thought I had figured it out. Where I thought, okay, I got it. I got all the parts. I'm ready to just go be of service. Get me up on the podium. Let me spit that game. Let me hear them applause. I'm Mr. Recovery, Mr. Spirituality. I'm gonna live this life. I got it from here. Thank you, God. I got it from here. That's just me being honest. That's where I was mentally. I didn't know that's where I was, but this is to the point of the cunning and baffling nature of the ego, of pride, of envy, of coveting, of wanting to be where I see someone else at, but not wanting to do the work required to get there. So when I've been in those places, more often than not, my experience with whatever God is if I don't keep digging, God will give me the opportunity to start digging. And usually that's in the form of a face plant in the dirt. And it's not to hurt me. It's not to cause me pain. It's to hand me over so that I can do the necessary work, so that I can eventually be in the place to help my brother. You know, this concept's been presented to me a couple times by a couple different people, and that's the best thing for an addict, the best thing that helps them stop getting high, is suffering. Oh, I couldn't have planned that better. Suffering is the primary motivator. And like my brother Dan the Healing Man says, suffering, we cannot circumvent suffering. We cannot replicate the motivation that suffering can do to an addict. Because suffering is constant. It's a constant pressure. And it's unnecessary suffering. That's, I think, key. The unnecessary suffering that an addict is dealing with, they have to feel that. They have to really sense that. I'd say that even for the necessary suffering. But suffering produces results. It produces results in a way that no community, no framework can really address. And I think back to myself 10 years ago when I gave up my life of addiction, and I was just done. I was done suffering internally and emotionally. And every time that I've gotten to the point where I've given up and just finally dig and get down deeper, it's because I'm so tired of suffering. And my suffering has changed over the years to where the suffering has become more internal. It's become subconscious. It's become deeply interwoven into my psyche. And so from the outside looking in, it looks like I'm very undisturbed. But there's been this insanity inside of me. So I keep digging. And I reach a place and I look for opportunity to dig again. And this is no credit to me. I just don't want to suffer unnecessarily. But I think what's really key, and I'm learning this today, is that you gotta look up from the dirt once in a while. You can't always dig. You know, I've heard this saying, self-improvement is akin to masturbation. It's like this, you know, constant internal cycle analysis of yourself. It's also it's almost narcissistic to a point, right? It can be that way. But the real digging is important work, and it's work that I must do on my own, but it's also work that I don't do alone. There are guides that help me. There's somebody who's dug before, somebody who has unearthed things before, and they can show me the way through that process. And they can encourage me, and often they do, to look up from the dirt and to see the change, to see the transformation, to reflect back on my mental and emotional state a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And so, you know, being at 10 years of recovery, right? Sometimes it's easy to forget how insane I was in addiction. And so I can get to this kind of like egotistical thought, right? And that's, But I also do it to the extreme of the other end, where I just think I'm not where others are. That's envy. That's pride. And so being encouraged to look up from the dirt, to see the progress that has been made. And I don't know that I'll ever stop digging. You know, it's like that concept of remain teachable. Remain willing to be willing. I interviewed this guy, Greg Champion, in Los Angeles. He has this thing called Startup Recovery, and they have a sober living home, great program, beautiful home. And he was telling me about this opportunity he had to do a sound bath. And during the interview, I said, a sound bath? What is a sound bath? And he said, yeah, that's what he thought before too. And then he did it. He's got over 25 years of recovery. But he's remaining willing to be willing to learn new things, to try new things. Because that's the way we were in addiction, right? Oh, hey, yo, try this. This is going to get you better than that last thing. Oh, really? Really? I'm going to try that. Oh, you like that, but why don't you try this? You think that weed and liquor is good, man. Why don't you try some of this cocaina, boy? Okay, I'll try it. That's how I was. So why wouldn't I be the same in my spiritual journey? Why wouldn't I look at things like meditation, things like contemplative prayer, things like a daily discipline? And so let me just outline this on a practical level. How I keep digging. Every morning, I dig a little bit. And then I get up and I keep it moving. And when I do that every day, when I do that meditation and it's that scripture, right? Search my heart, O Lord. Right? It's that prayer. Relieve me of the bondage of self. God is faithful to do that when I slow down and open myself up to communion with the creator of the cosmos. The billions and billion a year cosmos that were created and bursted into existence. And I connect with that force, that thing. And I don't get superpowers. But the light shines in the darkest parts of my heart. And I'm able to then freely move throughout the day. And the last point on this, keep digging or face plant the dirt, is when asked, help someone else to dig. This is important. And I had to learn the first part of this statement. When asked. You know, unrequested feedback is a criticism. Yeah, you know, I'm no problem being bold and helping a brother to see a blind spot. But it's much more effective, much more transformational when I'm asked and I'm given permission and then I reveal it. And helping someone else dig gives me the opportunity to really, it reflects back to me my own process, my own digging. It reflects to me my own blessings, the victories that I've received, the overcoming that has happened in my life. I see it. It's almost like I'm getting more out of helping someone dig than they are. This is the kingdom of God at play. So when asked, I try to help someone else dig. And that ask might come in a form of leading someone's meeting or just having breakfast with someone who needs some help, answering the phone when someone calls. That's a way that they're asking for me to help them dig. And sometimes the help they need is just to listen. They need a listening ear. They need some compassion. They need some understanding. They need to know they're not alone and that someone else cares for them. And in that, I get to participate in the great work that God is doing on this planet and in that person's soul and spirit. You cannot heal what you do not first reveal. So keep digging or face plant the dirt. You know, they say don't take long to tell the truth. And I think I've told the truth. At least I've told it to the best of my ability. Try to be as transparent and open with this concept of keep digging. And I want to encourage you, because if you're listening to this, you've invited me in. So I want to encourage you to keep digging. And if you haven't dug, start. And if you need help, reach out. Reach out to me on social media. Go to themosthighmedia.org. Reach out there. You know, I have some information. I have some help I can offer. And it would be a great honor for me to help you to start that journey of digging. And if not me, somebody. Because you can't dig alone. You can. You can dig alone. But it's not very fun. It's a little like drift off into morbidity. Because you're like, it's so overwhelming. You know, you're digging in, you find this thing, and you go, holy shit, how did that get there? What am I supposed to do with this? Don't know, and so it discourages you and you stop digging. A lot of these things, they sit underneath the surface, and we don't know the freedom that lies on the other end of this digging, because we don't know how these, the ego is like this puppeteer in the background pulling these strings. And I've learned that in these last 2 years that there has been a level of subconscious thinking and storytelling that I was doing that was keeping me from being free. So I asked for help, and someone has helped me dig. You know, going to happen one way or the other, you know. Maybe you'll face plant, and that's going to be the motivation for you to dig. So my name's Christian. I hope this has been helpful to you in some way. And thank you for listening. Make sure if you're listening to this on the podcast that you subscribe to the podcast and get some updates. Make sure that you check out mosthighmedia.org. Make sure you download the app. We have over 11 documentaries, a bunch of TV shows, visual episodes. We have podcasts. Over 100 stories of recovery, of redemption, of overcoming. It's all right there. Most High Media app on your App Store, Google Play Store, Roku. And start digesting some of this content, because it's created to help. It's created to serve. Oh, this music right here is my cue that I'm winding down. I really love this background music, man. It gets me in this mental state to just do this thing. And it feels really good to do it. Haven't done it in over 6 months. We took a break. I want to end with this. G.I. Georgiev. He's this philosopher. I believe he's Russian. And he had this philosophy, this concept, this idea that humans are like robots. And he uses the example that you can be walking down the street and someone says, "Hey, you look great today." And all of a sudden, you become happy. You stand up a little straighter. "Oh, yeah, thanks, man. Okay, yeah." And you reflect that, right? And then you can walk by someone else a few steps later and they can say, "Boy, you look tired." I get that all the time because I got these eyes. But you get this, "You look tired. You all right? You don't look so good." Now all of a sudden you're thinking, "Man, yeah, I don't feel good. I don't look good." And so most humans are walking around asleep. And they're reacting. People of reaction. And they're reacting to the outside world. And it's affecting their inside. Because they're asleep, they're unconscious. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in this reactive state where the outside world is stirring your insides up constantly. Begin digging. Reveal what it is in you that is reacting to what's out there. Because you can't change what's out there, but you can change what's on the inside. This message has been brought to you by Most High Ministries, the maker of the sun, earth, and moon. Peace and blessings. Thank you.